What's up, boys and girls, and thank you for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Before we get started with today's awesome podcast, just a few reminders for all of you. Don't worry, I'm not going to go on and on for about 10 minutes like most podcasts, just a few things to remind you about. As a former Circa winner, I get a lot of questions about signing up for the many awesome contests at Circa Sportsbook, especially around proxy services. If you want to sign up for the Circa Millions or Circa Survivor, $10 million plus in prizes this year at Circa, no one does it better. And if you don't live in Vegas, you'll need a proxy. A proxy puts the picks in for you every single week, and there's only one guy who I would recommend for that service, and that is at Football Contest on X on Twitter. Connect with Maddie and his team for the best proxy service in town. There's a reason why they're always surrounding Circa winners. They never get a selection wrong, and they've been doing this for a long time. There's nobody who I'd recommend more than Maddie and his team at Football Contest. Make sure you get in touch with them before you sign up. Also, just want to remind you, if you can't go to Vegas, if you can't sign up for Circa this season, there are so many great contests available in the NFL at The Season. That's theszn.com. And if you sign up using my promo code, you can get an extra $10 off your first pool bundle. So you can get the classic NFL bundle, which is four pools and over $175,000 in prizes for just $20. 50% off the full price. Just go to www, which is apparently important, www.theszn.com/FarleyBets to get that promo code, an extra $10 off your first pool bundle, so you can put in your contest entries as a chance to win hundreds of thousands of dollars. Lastly, I would like to formally introduce my audience to a new podcast offering from your boy Farley Betts called the NFL Roundtable. This is going to be a weekly podcast all NFL season, and it's going to be an NFL betting podcast that's different than the rest. Why? Because usually it's one or two guys talking and yapping the whole time. We're bringing you a whole roundtable of pro bettors and NFL sharps, Patrick Gates and Kiev O'Neill from the Oddsbreakers, Ryan Reynolds, who contributes over there at ETR and Roto Underworld. Of course, I partnered with him at the 33rd team as heads of betting. Scott Kellen, you may remember him from the BetUS NFL show with me, and many, many more special guests throughout the season, and a few guys who you might not have met before, but you need to meet because these are a bunch of sharp dudes talking NFL betting. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be awesome just to hear all the different opinions and insights from these sharp NFL minds. So stay tuned every week, every Tuesday afternoon. The NFL Roundtable podcast coming your way. Again, thanks so much for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts, and let's get to today's guest. All right, boys and girls, very excited to have Ryan Reynolds on Laying the Points today. You might remember the stint of Ryan Reynolds and Chris Farley, two names you never would have associated with a betting program or with the 33rd team. We were the heads of betting over there. Ryan stayed there for another year. Great work over there at the 33rd team, Ryan. I still talk to other people about how hard you worked because I was kind of doing like editorial stuff, and you were writing up every single game. But he's currently still at the awards market analysis at Established the Run, does fantasy football with Roto Underworld. Ryan Reynolds, welcome back, my man. What are you up to these days?
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure talking shop with you. You know, I'm actually, it's funny you mentioned how hard I work. I'm actually purposely trying to do less of that for my own sanity and health and all that stuff. So just, you know, have a few things going on, consulting a little bit for small businesses, you know, just trying to keep everything manageable going forward, man.
Well, I missed you, man. I miss the voice. It's, you know, settling for me, your fellow Jersey guy, fellow Giants fans, as torturous as that is. I just took a little vacay this past weekend. It was like a two-night thing with some friends, and I won't reveal exactly where it was for all of our stalkers out there, Ryan, but but I learned that Ryan doesn't live too far from there, so we have to get together sometime soon and talk shop in the dirty jurors, of course. Let's get to some football, man, because I have so many questions for you today. I know you're still always going to be heavily involved, even if you're not working 80 hours a week. So let's get into some of these things. We'll start from the very top, which is something that we both are eager to talk about together. And I'm going to set it up like this. Joey Burrow and the Bengals, Ryan. Why am I sitting here wanting to projected they're going to be in the Super Bowl again this year with, I got to admit, Ryan, offensive line has gotten a lot better, but they have to continue being that way, right? Like that's a huge thing, and it's not always consistent. You know, their defense lost some guys. The wide receiver situation seems like a little up in the air. They don't have Tyler Boyd over there anymore. But still, with Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor and just kind of the operation they have going on over there, it just seems very high level. Joe Burrow is healthy again. Why do I want to project them as a Super Bowl participant? I just love this team regardless. I'll pass it over to you. What do you see for these Bengals?
Well, I mean, you and I are both Joe Burrow advocates. I mean, you know, on one hand, it's like everyone forgot they're a year removed from going to back-to-back AFC championship games and being basically Patrick Mahomes' biggest threat every year, pretty much. Like, they can knock them off in the games that count. And then on top of it, like, Joe Burrow's the guy. Of all the guys in the NFL, he's the guy you don't leave your girl alone with, you know? Because, like, Joe Burrow, your girl, she comes, like, listen, I couldn't say no. And it's like, listen, I understand. I could lie and tell you that I don't understand, but let's just pretend this never happened. Joe Burrow is a dangerous man on all fronts. I'm with you, man. Like, CJ Stroud is kind of the new, like, you know, toast of the town, so to speak. And I get it, you know, impressive as all can be last year, but it's like everyone forgot Joe Burrow's already been this for years. So I'm with you on that all the way, pal.
I love that people are forgetting about that too. And I got to admit, you know, I'm looking at his new haircut. You know, it's like 1999 Eminem. And I'm like, hey, like one side of me, the 90s kid, loves it. The other side of me is like, what are we doing, Joe? And then I learn that it's for like a good cause. It was some kind of tribute to a kid with cancer. So even when Joe looks like he's kind of off the rails, he's not. Joe knows exactly what's up. He's very focused. And yeah, it's just hard to, because I wouldn't say they're the best roster in the NFL. You know, I wouldn't say he has the best weapons around him. Like, I don't love that they got rid of Joe Mixon. You know, personally, that's a professional running back for them, right, for so many years. And I wouldn't say that Zach Taylor is like the best coach. I don't really know how to grade Zach Taylor. I think he does just fine. But you know, when you got Lou Anarumo, still, I mean, it's just a good organization. And I think Joe's the guy to kind of make it happen. And then it does start and end with Joe, right? He's a winner, and he understands how to do that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, man, it's about Joe Burrow. And I agree with you. They don't have a great roster, especially on defense. You know, Amarillo has been, you know, getting the most out of that group for years. Offensively, I think they're fine. Offensive line strong. T. Higgins and Jamar Chase is one of the better wide receiver duos in the league. You could argue they're the best wide receiver duo in the league. Agree with Mixon. They didn't really replace him with anyone substantial. Zach Moss had a really nice fill-in job for Jonathan Taylor last year. And Chase Brown's a second-year player that didn't see much time until late in the year last year because of pass protection issues. So I do agree that they have a downgrade there. But at the end of the day, man, it's, you know, you have one of the five guys on earth that can carry a team for 3 or 4 weeks, and it wouldn't be a surprise for anyone.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, one of the five guys on earth. And I totally agree with you. Listen, you know, Joe, you know, I'm a confident guy, Ryan. You know, I walk into a bar, I'll talk to a girl or two, not anymore.
Yeah.
but you know, but I used to. But Joe's that guy who you just accept it. You know, you're like, yeah. Quarterback of the Bengals, this is a winner. Look at this stud muffin. Would not be surprised to see him in the Super Bowl again. Let's move on to our division, if you will, the NFC East, the historical NFC East, our Giants celebrating 100 years on the scene, Ryan. Pretty cool that the Giants have been around for that long. But I must say, usually I approach the season with the Giants, in recent years especially, not expecting very much. I find myself organically seeing more buy signs recently. And that includes the Daniel Jones beard. It includes it. He's trying to copy you, you know, a little bit here, Ryan. You know, his more mature look. But we can talk about Malik Nabers, Daniel Jones. I mean, let's just start overall. What are your thoughts on the New York Giants this year, and what we're going to see from this team?
Yeah, I'm a bit above market on them. Their first, let's count them, 10 games before the Week 11 bye. I think they're very, like, 5-5 or better is very much in play. They might have the best four-man pass rush in the league. I mean, they're at least in the conversation. They really, really have a very good four-man pass rush. Okereke is the first linebacker they've had since Antonio Pierce that I'm actually happy to say is on the team. Yeah. And, you know, Banks has already shown himself like he's a real corner. Everything else on defense is a little dicey, a little bit of a question mark, but they have a very good core. on offense, I mean, I've never been a Daniel Jones guy. He suffers in pressure management. He has poor instincts in that phase. I don't think that's magically going to change, but this could be the best offensive line he's ever played behind. And, you know, all of a sudden they have, you know, Saquon's in Philly, which is obviously, you know, him, the Devin Singletary is a bit of a downgrade to say the least, but their wide receiver group, they're purposely stacking speed. And, you know, in a best case scenario, they enter next year with one of the more dangerous wide receiver groups in the league. So I think there's at least potential for the offense to be better.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of other teams are going to perceive the Giants wide receiver group as that. I mean, you know, Malik Nabers is an obvious target, you know, for them to double cover, right, or give more attention to. But, you know, they some of these second, third, fourth, you know, Wendell Robinson is as speedy as it gets, you know, so is Jalen Hyatt, right? So you got to figure that at least creates a vertical passing option, which is something Daniel Jones has not found, especially in those pressure situations before. But, you know, here's my glimmer of hope, Ryan, for Daniel Jones in those pressure situations are, I think about the second half of that Arizona Cardinals game last year where he willed his team back, well, like three or four touchdowns, a few on the ground and through the air. And that was him kind of responding to the naysayers there a little bit too, right? Like, we just got trounced by the Cowboys in week one. I'm going to carry this team. If he has that mentality more this whole season, with better talent around him, I don't know if he can, you know, project that kind of mentality in every single game. But there's clearly a high level athlete there, yeah, who can find the right throws if he calms the hell down, you know. And maybe with what is this, his fourth year, fifth, you know, at this point, playing in a potential year where his career could be defined, maybe he brings that mojo a little bit more. That's what I'm hoping for, at least.
And that's the other thing too, man. Like, he makes a lot of money, and this is kind of the crossroads for him. Like, if he does well, he continues to make big money next year. If he doesn't, you know, he's probably someone's backup next year, or, you know, like on the Mitch Trubisky path a little bit if he doesn't. So high pressure. He has to stay healthy too. That's been a big problem for him. So not a ton of faith in him, but I do think I think they're going to be in purgatory where through the first half of the year, they're going to be fine. Then the second half schedule, man, is tough. You know, it's Tampa. Don't really care about that. They probably beat them come at home coming off a bye. Then at Dallas on Thanksgiving, home versus the Saints, they can win. Then it's versus the Ravens. I think that's going to be a revenge game for Baltimore for 2 years ago. At Atlanta, yeah. Atlanta's much better than they were. The Colts are a solid team, and then they finish at Philly. So I think they could free fall late, but I think he's going to do enough where he's their starter on opening day next year.
Yeah, I was at that Ravens-Giants game 2 years ago with a bunch of Ravens fans, in quotation marks, basically my wife and her friends just wearing jerseys, acting like Ravens fans, not really paying attention to it ever. So to shut them down in that game was pretty great. I wasn't expecting a win there, Ryan, but glad we got it. Let's talk about the Commanders. I think this is a very interesting team for me. I think it's obviously too early to project a ton of success with all the new parts. You know, you got Dan Quinn over there, a second stint now as a head coach. But he is a professional coach, and he was just with the Cowboys last season. He's a tenured guy in the NFL. What do you see from Jaden Daniels and Quinn and this new look of the Washington Commanders?
I think the first thing I'll say is I probably wouldn't care too much about Quinn if Joe Banner didn't love him. You know, we both worked with Joe Banner. We both love Joe Banner. Super smart guy. He likes Quinn more than I do, so that brings him up a little bit for me. I view him as kind of like a mediocre hire on my own. Jaden Daniels is interesting. Dual threat quarterback, a bit like RG3, so that's fun for Commanders fans. But that dude took some serious contact in the running game on purpose in college. He's not going to survive if he continues there. It's funny. I've heard you say some things about the Commanders over the offseason, and like I've tried to get there myself because it makes it, like, just from like a contrarian sports bettor stance, like I kind of like see it the same way, and I want to get there. Roster wise, they're okay. I mean, their offensive line is kind of in a similar spot to the Giants. Like, maybe they could be league average in a best case scenario, but they're probably going to be below average. If their pass rush was still whole, if Sweat was still in Washington, I'd be more enthusiastic about the defense. But the defense, you know, Quinn does not have the parts in Washington that he did in Dallas. So I think they'll be better and on an upward trajectory, but I'm not sure they make any noise this year.
Yeah, once I have talked about the Commanders positively And then once I start to think about their record, I can't go there. Like I can't be like, I'm going to take their over. They're going to win the NFC East. I mean, I could see them making a playoff spot. You know, that's a bold, prediction that I've had, but I can at least see them being an ATS companion, right? Like this team can maybe fight a little bit more. They have a quarterback that can probably make some game-changing plays at the end of the game as long as he stays healthy, to your point. He's not the biggest dude, you know, so he starts to take hits. That could be a problem. But the defense is interesting for me because although they're young and unproven, I do think last year, the stats are down because they were playing from behind a lot, right? So teams could kind of settle in against the Commanders. If they have better production offensively, and they got some talent, man. Like they definitely have talent on offense. They brought over Austin Eckler. They still have Brian Robinson, and they got a good crew of wide receivers with a backup tight end that I think could really learn under Zach Ertz. Like if they develop offensively, I think that defense could be a little feistier as far as opportunities to get to the quarterback because it just wasn't there last season, right? And you see that from a lot of teams. If they're not playing from a position to play against the pass game, then that's just what's going to happen. But I think there's some sneaky good players on that defensive line,
especially their interior with Payne. I mean, and Allen. And the other thing, you know, to add on to your point a little bit, one, like they're going to be better than they were last year because they were a disaster in the second half last year. And two, like that's probably what Quinn brings to the table is he's every defense that dude's touched it improves. So I think they'll be better too. Just can't get to the playoffs yet with them.
Yep. Okay. Now I'm going to keep my opinions at bay here until I hear from you first about the team that Dan Quinn came from, Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. Now they went with Mike Zimmer. It's a very interesting switch for me. And there's a lot of things in flux for the Dallas Cowboys. So where do you see this team? I'll just pose this question too as an opener. Is this the year where Dallas finally kind of takes a dip?
I think so. Literally, my only reservation there is their win total's 10.5, and the under's been juiced to like something crazy, like -200. So that's kind of like consensus, which is why I'm not going to bet it. But they've been 12-5 3 years in a row. And one thing, I'm even going to make a tweet about this soon. And you know, I don't really tweet very much. The Cowboys are a CeeDee Lamb injury away from having like a horrible offensive supporting cast, like horrible.
Yeah.
So, and he's who knows what happens with the contract situation going in the year, but. You know, and we've talked about this, like Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. Like he's like a Matt Ryan guy, you know, which is kind of like a backhanded compliment. Like, yeah, you're good, but are you ever going to win anything? I don't think you are. You're going to need to have the best roster in the league. And this roster is it's like what happened with Buffalo a little bit. 3 years ago, Dallas was loaded everywhere, just absolutely loaded. And like every year they lose a little bit more. And if you look at their additions and departures for this year, they added Ezekiel Elliott. And Kendricks, who's like, 30 years old, and they lost like 10 guys who like saw significant playing time last year. So I definitely think they're going to be worse, but they've already also set the bar pretty high at 12-5. So even if they're like 10-7, that's, the dip we're probably looking at.
And that's the thing, right? So maybe they don't blow out a few teams 41-0 during the season, but maybe they're still stacking up plenty of wins. Right. And they might have to depend on that defense a little bit more. What's going to be interesting for me, too, is you lose Tyron Smith and the other name on their offensive line. I can't think of it this time, but it could amount to a lot of interior pressure on Dak Prescott, who he's a great rollout quarterback, like extending plays once he has protection. But that dude isn't like juking somebody up the middle, and I think that could create a different comfort zone. Or lack thereof for Dak Prescott and like a play to play kind of situation, especially on third downs. Right. So that could be a major thing. Isn't that weird how they go from, they get rid of Zeke, then they get rid of Pollard, who like they were putting him up on their mantle as like the best thing since sliced bread. And now they bring back Zeke. I mean, I like Zeke, he's a worker, but it doesn't feel good for Dallas right now. And you're totally right about the CeeDee Lamb thing, man. I don't know what they're doing there. Go ahead. We can move on to the Eagles if you want. I'll just say that was just my bottom. Like, I don't know what's going on, essentially.
let's press on, pal.
Yeah. Let's press on. Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, God. Let's give them. I'm gonna start by giving them a lot of credit because they needed to make good changes in their offensive and defensive coordinator spots during the offseason. That they did. This is one. You know me, Ryan. You suffered through this with me during the 30-13 years. The guy that was just the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins is now with the Eagles. What the hell is his name? You know,
Vic Fangio.
Yeah, Vic Fangio. Thank you. I think he's a good fit. I think he's a great fit for the Eagles defense. He's a pro. He should be able to bring more out of them. But then you got the Jalen Hurts and the Nick Sirianni stuff coming out, which is not a surprise to me at all, Ryan. But talent wise, there's no reason why this Philadelphia Eagles team shouldn't have run through the NFC East once again, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, I'll say 2 years ago, I don't think anyone hates Nick Sirianni more than you. And even when the Eagles were like on their Super Bowl run, you're like, you know, this guy is not the guy. So if that implodes, you were the first person I heard that was on that. Offensively, they have maybe the best RPO talent group ever, you know? Like they it's fascinating. One negative I'll say about their offense is all of a sudden Kelsey's retired, Lane Johnson's getting old. That offensive line, you know, it's been a staple, you know, again, to bring up Joe Banner. Joe Banner ruined my childhood by just building these great Eagle teams, you know. Yeah. Our childhood, he's been, you know, literally. And, like, now this is the first time in a very long time where I look at their offensive line. It's like, you know, that could be a league average group. So that's something that could happen. And defensively, I agree. Vic Fangio is a hire where it's like, oh, God, they have Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive player callers in the league. The additions of guys like Devin White is really interesting for me. Bringing Gardner Johnson back is a good move. The thing I'll add here, though, is Nolan Smith is a really interesting, you know, first-round pick from Georgia last year. Really interesting edge rusher, great athlete. But if he doesn't pan out, their edge rush is the worst it's been in a very long time. And they're entirely relying on their interior. So the Eagles' lines have been the strength of their team for, you know, my whole adult life. And this is the most volatile they've been that I can remember.
I agree with that. And I always think it's like the worst thing you could hear if you're a fan of a team and you start hearing people say, I think this year could be, again, a really good year. I just worry about the offensive line or I just worry about the offensive and defensive line. It's where it all starts, man, right? Like we know, like even Joe Burrow, as much as we love him, like a few years ago when he didn't have that offensive line, I mean, by the way, still got to the Super Bowl, but you know, but you saw the flaws in that operation almost solely because of that. Right. So I think they probably worked through it. You know, my thing with Sirianni is just that Jalen Hurts is the leader of that team. It's not Sirianni, you know, and like we've like seen it play out on the field a few times where Sirianni's kind of losing his mind emotionally. Yeah. Jalen's like, yo, man, things are fine. Like it should kind of be the opposite of that. Right. Or, you know, hopefully both of them are like Andy Reid and Mahomes are on the same page. Yeah. I don't know how much that comes between them and success, but I think we kind of saw it happen when the going got tougher, right? Like at the end of the season last year. So could see that happen again. Hope that happens as a Giants fan, but they're still so talented that it's like, you know, tough for me to project that. Okay, let's go down to the NFC South, Ryan, because we'd love to get your thoughts on a division that I feel is very much up in the air. You know, you got a rejuvenated Falcons group again. I think it's a much better coaching option over there. But, you know, Saints are seeming like another average team with high potential that's not happening. You know who's in the NFC South. So I'll pass it over to you. What's going on in this NFC South and who do you see maybe coming out of it as better than the rest?
Yeah, I think Atlanta's clearly the best team. I'm definitely not one of those people that thinks they should have hired Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick if they want to be good now. I'm not one of those people at all, not even mildly. The Saints had the easiest schedule in the league last year, and they just flopped. So, like, I view that operation as Dennis Allen maybe doesn't make it through the season as the head coach. You know, just like you said, they have a good roster still. Again, one of those teams that's been bleeding talent for years, but that's not a group I have any confidence in. 2 years ago, man, you know, we had an anti-Baker Mayfield show, essentially. And Baker Mayfield, you know, you got to give him credit. He had a very good second half last year. You know, he got extended for a reason. I think this is a Geno Smith situation, essentially, where they had to pay him And now, like, you're like, okay, we have Baker Mayfield as our quarterback. What's the ceiling here? You know, like, we make the playoffs and win this terrible division and, you know, maybe lose a playoff game by 10 points. Like, that's like our best case scenario. I expect them to take a little bit of a step back in general. And, you know, I'll say this. If I have a bold take this year, it's that I think Carolina, if you want to bet on a division winner to that's like a pretty good underdog, a pretty good long shot, I think Carolina, the coach I like, they're going to get more out of Bryce Young. He has a better supporting cast on offense, both in their offensive line, you know, rookie running back coming in, better wide receiver group. I could see them being feisty. I don't know if they're going to be enough to you know, outplay Atlanta. Unless Kirk Cousins, you know, has a season-ending injury in week one. But I do think Carolina is going to be better than a lot better than they were last year, where I could see them approaching a 500 record potentially.
Yeah, and even if Kirk Cousins has an injury, maybe Michael Penix Jr. steps in there and he's not too bad, right?
Right.
He at least looked pretty good in one preseason game. But, yeah, but can't disagree with anything you said. Best roster is Atlanta. The Saints are beyond frustrating. Like the Saints, if you look at them last year, they literally beat the teams that were below average and they could not beat the teams that were above average. I mean, they're just very average, you know, and the whole Derek Carr situation too, man, like the Saints needed to make a change at offensive coordinator. Clint Kubiak, probably a pretty good mind there now, you know, came from San Francisco. But if that doesn't work, you know, we might see Spencer Rattler out there eventually, man. And that could be some exciting things for the Saints. I mean, who knows? You know, just a change in scenery at least. But that's interesting about the Panthers. I must say there are a few teams left on my board. You know, I got Seattle in there, Jacksonville, and Carolina, who I have not dove deep enough with yet. So I'm going to take, you know, always an open-minded perspective, but I'm going to remember what you said, because I know that there are, you know, like, for example, I kind of want to take the Saints week one at home against Carolina in Survivor, because the Saints don't have a lot of spots where you can trust them.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys like you, and you're not the only one, some sharp personalities out there think that the Panthers could be a little feisty this season. So are you playing Survivor this year in any way?
Yeah, I love Survivor, so I'll definitely play. I won't make the trip to Vegas, but you know, DraftKings has a number of contests. I'll load them up, do a few home leagues and such. So I'll definitely be dropping a few $1,000 in Survivor leagues.
I thought you were about to lay down an F-bomb, which, you know what, you can do that on laying the points anytime.
It was really, really, really close, man. It wasn't the right moment for it. I'll give you one before we exit.
Oh, no. You always do a well-executed F-word. So I eagerly await that, Ryan. Okay, let's move down to the AFC South, where obviously things are very interesting, right? CJ Stroud and the Texans kind of leading the charge as far as hype goes. But then you got some very interesting teams surrounding them, including the Jaguars, who I said I don't really feel like I have a great handle on yet. What say you in the AFC South?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just about every year there's a team that's really hyped that makes sense, and Houston's that. And, you know, we talked about this last year too. I comp CJ Stroud to Dak Prescott, which is a compliment. You know, Dak Prescott's a top 10 quarterback in the league. He's already better than Dak Prescott. And they, you know, I don't think the addition of Stephon Diggs is quite what people think. You know, I there's a reason Buffalo let him go, you know? So I do think Joe Mixon's a good addition. They have a good offensive line. They suffered a lot of injuries last year, and that didn't stop Stroud, which was fascinating, honestly. But, you know, good wide receiver trio, good coach, it looks like. The defense at least has some foundational pieces, so they make sense. Jacksonville, like, I definitely – Trevor Lawrence has not lived up to the hype, where, like, he was a historic quarterback prospect, like an Andrew Luck-level quarterback prospect. He has not lived up to that. He's still good. He was still good last year. I watch every game because I'm a sick maniac. And, you know, he was 3 or 4 inches away from, like, basically adding, you know, 3 or 4, like, 30-yard touchdowns last year too. So I think there's room for growth there. I don't think the roster is that good. So that's the challenge there. Houston has a better roster and maybe the better quarterback already. The Colts, I think the Colts are a little overvalued. I love Steichen. Love, you know, Anthony Richardson's a fascinating player. They're comparing them to the Eagles from 2 years ago a lot. And, like, frankly, the Eagles roster is light years beyond what the Colts are. It's not even close. So good coach, interesting quarterback. Don't think I really view them as a powerhouse of any kind. And, you know, the Titans, I wasn't, you know, me and you were Mike Vrabel guys. We're a bit old school. You know, like Mike Vrabel got everything he could out of the team. So I think that's a coaching downgrade. I've never once watched a Bengals game and be like, oh, man, you know, Joe Burrow just has like a mastermind play caller. Right? I watch him and be like, dude, Joe Burrow's the man. Joe Burrow, you know.
Yeah.
I could call plays for Joe Burrow. you know, their roster is better, though. Their offensive line's better. So I don't think they're going to get there. I think they'll be more interested than they were last year.
I will say the Titans with Tony Pollard is interesting to me, too. And they kind of have a monster trio at wide receiver. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, until proven otherwise, is still making plays. You know, he's still making big plays. You know, now they got Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd, right? So it's like you can argue that's the top wide receiver group in the NFL. And you got a guy who has an arm for a rifle for an arm who might not be that accurate, but maybe he doesn't have to be with that group. You know, so it's an interesting setup. And I'm going to segue that because I know we're going to avoid talking week one plays altogether, but I have to ask you about it, Ryan. Week one, I'm very bullish on taking the Titans plus 4.5. You know, and a huge part of that is because of all the changes in Chicago. There's changes in Tennessee too. But I think they should be far closer to even here. You know, like a 2.5 makes sense to me. I know the Bears are at home. Caleb Williams, a lot of buy signs on the kid. Great personality. All the physical attributes are there. But am I too bullish on this? You know, because if anyone's going to tell me straight, it's my buddy from Jersey. Listen, I just cannot see myself betting or could never get close to betting Chicago minus 4.5. I think that number is so wrong. But is there something I'm not thinking about? Like, what's your take on that game?
No, to frame it this way, you know, I'm a futures guy. I'm an awards market guy. My favorite bet of the offseason was Eberflus to win coach of the year at 20-1. He's the consensus favorite now at like 8-1, 10-1.
Yeah.
I do think Chicago has a very good defense. Like, they could be the best defense in football potentially. I definitely think they're top five potential. I've also said that with Caleb Williams, if I were them, Washington would have had to give me 4 first round picks to move up one spot for me to even think about it. You know, like Caleb Williams from a talent perspective is just crazy. Like, already drawing live at being the best out of structure quarterback ever, you know? So I think it's there, but it's his first game in the NFL. Chicago's offensive line is fine, you know, but I would call the interior the weakness, actually. And, you know, Jeremy Simmons is a Titan. And, yeah, 4.5 seems a little like a lot for a team with a rookie quarterback in opening day. I do think they could handle them. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm going to bet that, especially because, like, the volume is going to be on Chicago, you know, bigger market, hype team, hard knocks. So I would probably have it at 3. So I don't think you're wrong there.
Yeah. And he looked good, you know, in his first preseason game, fit some balls into some tight spaces. But I love what you said. I didn't want to get in the weeds unless you did. But the Chicago offensive line is a huge question mark. I totally agree, especially the interior, which is where the Titans still have their strength on the defensive line. And Caleb comes from a USC background where he didn't have to call the plays. Like he wasn't doing as much mental work. Now he's in it's pro football. You know, like you're going to have to do, you know, your processing speed and everything that happens out there right away is going to have to be fantastic. So even though the Titans are a team in flux, 4.5, you know, week one is just like a huge red flag for me. Apparently this is the hill I'm going to die on the first week of the NFL season, and then we'll move on. But had to get your take on that at least a little bit. I don't think I have anything else to say about the AFC South, but that is a very interesting division. And man, I want the Colts to do well. That's all I'm saying. Cause Anthony Richardson has a chance to be the most entertaining quarterback in the NFL. I mean, that dude is like a more athletic Cam Newton, with a crazy arm strength. I mean, that dude is what you see on the playground when you grow up and you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going to go to the pros, you know?
Yeah. I'm not as good as I thought I was. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Okay, any surprise teams that you'd like to bring up that you've just been thinking, you know, like doing your research, putting in your futures, and be like, yeah, this team is going to surprise a few people. Like any other teams you want to mention?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like the Bears in February, so I can't say them now because that's not a secret anymore. I wish everyone didn't love them now. Let's just say that. I think Carolina is going to be a little more feisty than people think. I actually think Pittsburgh, I don't think Pittsburgh's going to make some huge leap or anything like that, but like if the Steelers won 11 games, like they have a better quarterback and like They have a very good defense, and Mike Tomlin just doesn't have losing seasons. So, like, I could actually, and the other weird thing is, like, I make fun of Arthur Smith all the time, but for what the Steelers do, like, his philosophy with either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields makes sense.
Yes.
Like, I think the Ryan Tannehill Titans, like, I think they could, I think they have a path to that. So I'm more bullish on Pittsburgh than most people are. My biggest concern is, you know, obviously the division's loaded. You have, you know, the reigning MVP and Lamar Jackson and Joey Burrow, who we've been talking up all day.
Yeah, exactly. Now I got Derrick Henry with the Ravens, which is pretty terrifying. You know, although, dude, how do you feel about Lamar losing weight? I mean, hey, I get it. He's like, I was fat. First of all, no, you weren't, Lamar. Second of all, I don't love that. I mean, he's probably gonna be faster than ever, but dude, one or two hits that it, you know, he could, I believe he's increasing his chances of injury. I don't care if your body is leathered up in the NFL up until this point. You got to pack some meat on those bones to take those hits. But maybe, you know, maybe the inclusion of Derrick Henry is kind of getting rid of that. I don't know. But it's Lamar Jackson, man. He's that's what it's all about with the Ravens, right? Like, that team is going to go to the Super Bowl and win it if Lamar Jackson does what he's supposed to do in the playoffs, right? As you and I have said many times before.
It, they certainly can. I don't see the upside in him losing weight because I'll say this. Everyone loves, like, to talk about how great of a passer Lamar Jackson is. And it's like, if Lamar Jackson couldn't run anymore, I don't think he's a starting NFL quarterback. You know, like, I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes. I think that's insanity. I think he's a phenomenal. Actually, here's the time, Chris. He's a fucking great passer for a guy who can run like he does. Because what makes Lamar Jackson special is it's 3rd and 13, no one's open, and this dude will pick it up in a way that no one else that's ever lived besides Michael Vick can. Yeah. So I don't know why losing weight would be a positive for him. Because, like you said, like, it's not like he was Cam Newton or Anthony Richardson. It's not like he was a truck. You know, he's, you know, I don't really get that either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, I gained, 40, 50 pounds since when I was 22. But if I'm going into the NFL right now, I'm going to want to keep the weight on me. I'm not going to want to get rid of it. That's all. Let me get your quick thoughts on the Jets, Ryan, because obviously the Jets are going to be everywhere we hear about. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's the opposite, right? He does have a special arm. But he's probably not going to be scrambling as much anymore either. Offensive line still a little bit in flux. You know, they brought over Tyron Smith. That's huge. But what do you see for the Jets? Are you believing any of the hype in them?
Man, I mean, last year was just having to watch Zach Wilson start at quarterback for an NFL team with, like, an elite defense is just, you know, brought, like, sincere pain to my soul. Because I'm a defense guy, Chris, so seeing that is just – Aaron Rodgers doesn't even need to be MVP form Aaron Rodgers for them to win 11 games and be dangerous against anyone. I have three concerns. One, obviously, is, like, he's our age and he just missed the season. So that's, you know, I couldn't even imagine playing in, like, a pickup football game, not to mention the NFL. And not anymore to tear my ACL, just, you know, looking at a football at this point. I actually think they probably should have fired the coaching staff just because I don't think that's the group that gets it done. I understand why they didn't, because last year wasn't their fault, but just so many, like, leadership questions there. I'm not a huge fan of. And three, like, this Hassan Reddick mess is, it's just indicative of, like, how they operate, you know, like, this would never happen in Philly. That's why they got rid of this guy, you know? Yeah. And this would have happened to, like, Al Davis's Raiders, you know? It's just, those are my concerns. But again, at the end of the day, they have a really, really, really good roster where if they were in the NFC, I'd probably have a Super Bowl bet on them. And the AFC is just so loaded that I think they can, like, they could beat the Chiefs in a playoff game in a best case scenario.
For sure.
But again, the downside is, you know, Rodgers is our age and it's just a disaster again. So
Go ahead. No, that's what makes it so difficult, right? Is there are no weaknesses on that defense. There's zero. Yeah. I think they're the best defensive line in football, the best linebacking crew in football. I think you could say every unit of their defense is first place. I mean, that I don't think that's too outlandish to say. At the same time, when you got characters over there like Nathaniel Hackett and Robert Saleh, who, like, kind of appears like a cool guy, tough guy coach, but I don't know how that dynamic is going to work with Diva Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers is upset, which, you know, Lord knows that's going to happen throughout the season in pressurized situations. So it's like the potential weaknesses of this team is all like theoretical and psychological. So I, you know, like it's hard to prove, but I hope they win, you know, 11, 12 games, man, because the city or the not the city of New York and, you know, the state of the great state of New Jersey, but the Jets fans deserve something at this point, especially with all this hype. But I guess we shall see. I got a question for you that you wanted me to bring up, but this is a fantastic question too, because I know you just wanted to talk about this, like and many in the betting space are thinking about this now. DraftKings just introduced, you know, some new charges in a few states on their bettors, you know, lower limits on some of our bets, especially if you're a good sports bettor. I mean, is it harder than ever to win, Ryan, in the sports betting space?
Yeah, that's I have a loaded answer here, pal. First, with the DraftKings fees, Taylor Cabe, Established the Runs CEO, put up a very, very, very smart guy, very, very smart business mind, put up a tweet about that you should read if that subject interests you. Yes, it's definitely harder. It gets harder every year. You know, there's so much volume. It's such a big business now. Just like our industry's changed too. We're like, you have to do crazy. Some people have to do crazy stuff for attention now, where it's like, you know, you won $100,000 in a handicapping tournament. Like, you know, you don't do crazy stuff. You actually post your losses and stuff like that. So it's a radically, when I first got into this, it's because I love the intellectual challenge of beating sports books. I love it. That's, you know, I don't care about gambling. You know this, like I'm super disciplined with it. I don't do it for like action or anything. I do it because being able to do that, not many people on earth can do it. And for me in particular, I do a lot of it with football knowledge, which is, you know, most people say it's impossible, but those people don't know a whole lot about football, honestly. Where it's like Underdog has a show that Bill Belichick's going to break down games this year. Like he's going to show you that there's advantages. Like, I actually hate that they're doing that because it's going to kill some of my edge. There's advantages in football knowledge that, like, he's going to lead you to winning bets this year without even talking about betting. Now, from a macro standpoint, you know, we talk about business and stuff, Chris, at times. I have an accounting and finance background and, you know, been in management for years. So I think one thing that I don't really understand is, and I'm going to use a parallel here, like, let's say we open up a buffet, me and you. We charge $25 a plate, and the local college team, you know, their 10 offensive linemen come in every Tuesday and Thursday and eat $50 worth of food apiece, just smoking us. You know, that's $500 a week that we're losing on 1% of our consumer base. What are we going to do? Are we going to change our whole business operation to accommodate these 10 guys, this 1%, or are we going to limit or ban them? And it's real fucking simple, man. I'm going to limit or ban them. Because that's what's easier and that's what helps my business. And sports books are a business. I've been limited for years at certain books, and like I'd fucking limit me too. I'm good at this shit. So that's something that I have a different take on that everyone else. Like they have to. Like they're a business. If they lose money, they don't exist. So if I ran a sports book, I would limit my best players. I think that's, I don't know if it's dishonesty or if it's just like, you know, self-centered, like, oh yeah, like I want them to change their regulations so that I'm not limited so I can make a living off this, where it's like, dude, they're a business. Like they don't exist to like for you to make, you know, money on it.
Yeah.
But that said, it's definitely harder now. Especially with props, there's so much volume on props that 3 years ago, man, like I found a Jerick McKinnon line. That was literally, I think it was 12 and a half, and I had it at like 26 and a half, and it took 2 days for it to move. And like that shit doesn't happen anymore. So it's definitely harder there. You know, certain books are increasing the juice in general. Like I think Caesars has like NFL sides at minus 120 apiece. So it's harder. They're better at making lines, and you know, they've always used juice essentially to like tighten, you know, basically how a sports book operates. They're a financial institute where they're limiting their liability. You know, and like they use the tools that they have. And, you know, I know this for futures markets too. Like they're radically different. Like I won Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes MVP tickets at like 50-1, where like those dudes would never be 50-1 now. They'd be like 20-1, you know? Yeah. So it's definitely harder, pal. It is. You have to be good to make any margin.
But I love your insight on the business side of it. It at least puts it into perspective for users, especially when you start to get good at it, right? Like at the end of the day, that is literally the point of most things, is where's the money generating? And if it's not generating, as at a maximum capacity, especially in a country like the United States, which we allow a lot of flexibilities there, then they're going to have to do what they have to do. But to your point, harder than ever for winning bettors too, especially, right, to actually sustain it. One more question for you, Ryan. And again, if you don't follow Ryan, you need to. It's at Ryan Reynolds NFL. The guy is NFL in his name for a reason. I mean, I consider you an authority in this industry, Ryan, for good reason, one of the best in our industry at it. Can you just, I know you've talked about this before, but can you just give our audience before you leave just a little insight about what your process looks like during the NFL season? And I know you're not a high, you know, you don't bet at a high rate, right? Like you're like a low frequency guy, very judicious, but just, you know, just some insight. I know this wasn't on the show sheet, but I should have put it on there because your process always fascinates me. And I think it's something that our audience can learn a lot by. So just a little insight into what you do on a week to week basis.
No, I like it. It's always a good question. I, you know, again, I have an accounting background, so I'm very strict with my budget. I have one macro budget that covers everything. And then I have various different buckets, like Survivor has a bucket. Sports Cards has a bucket. Unfortunately, Mojo's no more. Mojo, like, oh my God, man. Let me segue real quick. Like, it's easier to beat new games. So, like, always be on the lookout for new games. And Mojo is a new game where, oh my God, dude, I would literally could have made that my living if they kept doing what they were doing. But, and I mean, like, you know, driving a Corvette type living, you know, just heartbreaking that they're gone. But,
fuck you, money. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, I don't force bets. That's a big thing for me. Like, I don't bet on every game. I bet on games that meet my conditions. And essentially that is, you know, one of the things I look for is there a game breaking positional group matchup in a game? You know, like it's offensive line or speed. You can't create margin. Like if someone has an advantage with you with speed, it's very, very hard to close that margin. So those are two things I look for. You know, we've talked about this a lot. I love like the psychology aspect of things, and like it's hard to quantify because it's like, you know, it's not exactly a science, but like it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Like we're all humans. If you get up to work, you know, you had a long weekend, like Monday, you might suck on Monday, you know, and just identifying those situations. Like Dallas is a good one. Like if Dallas blows someone out, they win 30-10 and like they travel across country. Like if they, like when they played the Cardinals last year, like those are situations where like they're more likely to play down than Kansas City is. Yep. You know, so I, you know, I look for all those little type things. And like you said, too, you do this long enough, you can look at a line and be like, all right, that's off just by looking at it. You know, like for you, it's the Titans Bears. I'm probably going to stay away from that, even though like if I was going to bet every game, I'd also take the Titans side. But, you know, I look for that in every aspect, totals, you know, like usually when I bet, I either bet in the week or at the very end when I have all the information. So I come at things from a lot of angles, and I also try to fade consensus whenever it's reasonable to do so. So that's probably a staple of what I do.
100%. And you haven't missed a game since when? Didn't you say like it's been a long time since you haven't watched it?
2014, when I lived in Minneapolis, I took a train to work and I would watch a game on the way in and the way back. And then I started working, you know, in football to a considerable degree. So I spend Monday just cranking out games. Maybe the streak may end this year, we'll see.
Well, I mean that's, but it's a good you know, it's a good I'm looking for a word, but it's a good thing to consider as far as if you want to get to a certain level, right? Like if you're gonna be at a certain level as a sports bettor, that's where you start. And that's not easy, watching every single game. And I think that's the purpose of these podcasts too, right? We have wide audiences out there. What can we do that you don't have time for out there, right? Like if you're listening to this, you have a family, you have a job, you have kids, let someone like Ryan Reynolds, you know, follow him at Established to Run, at Roto Underworld, at Ryan Reynolds NFL, because this guy is doing more work than you're doing by far, you know, like, and that's why, you know, how we get to this point. At least we hope to get to this point as winning sports bettors. Ryan, thanks for coming on, man. I've certainly missed having podcasts with you. We were on two, three shows a week. During the 2022 NFL season, and I know the 30-13 went in a different direction with their betting, but you're still all over the betting industry, one of the best follows in our industry, bar none. And not just saying that because you're a Giants fan and a Jersey guy. So thanks so much for coming on, brother.
Pleasure as always, pal.